Here it is. No joke. It's Amelia's weekly fish fry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 475 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. This week, I am happy to announce that Adnan Nambir, Global Head of Semiconductor Materials at EMD Electronics, is joining me today. Adnan and I are chatting about material and technology innovation in this age of global supply chain shortage, and the recent announcement that EMD Electronics will be investing $1 billion to support U.S. customers and a total of $3.5 billion on a global scale. But before we bring in Adnan, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Further Adventures in 3D Printing Edition. So here on Fish Fry, I have been reporting about 3D printing for a long time. Just a couple days ago, I found a story that I wrote from March 2011 about 3D printed food. And I don't even remember recording that episode. So today, we're talking about the latest innovations in 3D printing, this time in the realm of personalized medicine. So get this. A group of scientists at University College London, or UCL, have created a 3D printer that can produce medicinal tablets in seconds. Yes, you heard me right. Seconds. So this new study at University College London isn't exactly brand new. It's actually building on a 3D process called vat photopolymerization. This type of 3D printing actually uses a resin that includes dissolved drugs and a photoreactive chemical, which is then solidified by light during the printing process to form a tablet. Now, this team at UCL took this idea and they ran with it and developed a new technique called volumetric 3D printing. Now, in this type of 3D printing, instead of a layer-by-layer method, it actually cures the entire resin structure at the same time. So, how does it do this? Well, it actually shines images of different angles of the object onto the resin, and then adjust the intensity of the light until the polymerization occurs. Now, what this team was able to produce using this new 3D printing method was pretty amazing. They were able to 3D print paracetamol, or better known as acetaminophen, tablets in 17 seconds. They were also able to alter the drug release rates of the tablets by tweaking the composition of the resin. This fine-tuning of the resin also allowed them to print tablets even faster, down to 7 seconds in some cases. This team at UCL is certain that paracetamol is just the first drug that can be 3D printed using these innovative methods. They believe that this kind of technology could be employed easily in fast-paced clinical settings, where patients could have medicines tailored to their individual needs easily. Co-lead author Dr. Alvaro Goyanes puts this research in perspective like this. He says, "Personalized 3D printed medicines are evolving at a rapid pace and reaching the clinic. To match the fast-paced clinical environment, we have developed a 3D printer that produces tablets within seconds. This technology could be a game changer for the pharmaceutical industry." Wow. So if you want even more information about this groundbreaking study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, including a link to the associated research paper called Volumetric 3D Printing for Rapid Production of Medicines. All right, it's time to bring in Adnan from EMD Electronics. Let's go. Hi, Adnan. Thank you so much for joining me.
Nice to be here, Amelia.
Excellent. Okay, so first off, what is EMD Electronics all about?
Yeah, EMD Electronics is the North American electronics business of Merck KGaA, based in Darmstadt, Germany. and we operate in the US and Canada as EMD Electronics. We are essentially the electronics business of Merck, and what we do is serve the electronic materials market and the electronics equipment market. So essentially, when you think about the entire electronics market, ranging from smartphones to PCs to tablets to automotive and et cetera, all of these devices use semiconductor chips. And as we are all familiar with the chip shortage these days, these chips are made with specialty materials and gases that we produce. And we are one of the leading suppliers of this portfolio of products going into this chip manufacturing process.
Now, we normally don't talk much about financial announcements here on Fish Fry, but you guys just announced a global investment of $1 billion to support customers in the US and a total of $3.5 billion on a global scale. So can you give me some details about this investment strategy and what are the goals of this large of an investment?
Yeah, it's a very exciting time for us with that announcement. As you mentioned, we've announced a $3.5 billion investment over the next 4 years, investing into capacity and capability building. And it might help to just give a little bit of a context to why EMD is investing this large amount. EMD, part of Merck, is a global business in healthcare, life science, and electronics. We are almost 354 years old. And through these years, the company has gone through several transformation and reinvention of itself. And I would call this juncture another reinvention of where we are in our electronics business. Merck traditionally has entered into the electronics business in a big way with the invention of liquid crystals. And over the last two decades, as you can imagine, all our devices, TVs, phones all have liquid crystal displays. And we have been an integral part of that market development and supplying of these unique materials. And over the years, we have strategically moved into the semiconductor area, two or three very unique acquisitions, specifically AZ Electronic Materials, Versum Materials, Intermolecular, and Sigma Aldrich High-Tech. All of these businesses have come together to create a portfolio of products that we supply to the semiconductor manufacturers to enable this chip manufacturing process. And with the pandemic over the last couple of years, we have seen the digital acceleration take hold with the adoption of 5G and AI and the work from home economy. And as you've known from the marketplace, there is an enormous shortage of these devices in the market, which is creating also an opportunity for companies like us where we supply materials to this industry. In the long term, we view this market growing at a very rapid pace in the high single digits. And we anticipated that the need for more chips and therefore the need for more materials is inevitable. So we've taken this long-term view of saying we have an opportunity to invest and be available for the marketplace. And that's the impetus of this huge investment. Of this $3.5 billion, $1 billion is actually being invested in the US and various parts of the country, also for capacity and R&D building. So that's sort of the gist of the investments that we're trying to make.
Excellent. Now, along with this announcement is not only capacity expansion, but also new material and technology innovation. So can you talk about this aspect of the plan as well?
Absolutely. We announced this program called Level Up, which is our growth program, focusing our attention not only on today's business, but also future capability building. These are somewhat step function changes because as we deliver products and services to our customers today, we need to be better invested in planning for tomorrow's requirements as well. And given that the market is really booming at this time and the demand for chips is at the highest it's ever been, we are taking this view of saying we need to build our scale, which is our capacity. We need to build on our technology platforms. We need to continue developing our portfolio, and we need to be building capabilities across various different functions. And the goal of this is to, one, give us the ability to focus on today's business, but also prepare ourselves for the future. Specifically in EMD being a science and technology company, our portfolio is developed alongside our customers uniquely for their new technology requirements. And these materials are co-developed with the customers over a long period of time, which requires an enormous amount of R&D investments, an enormous amount of tools and facilities to be able to, one, collaborate with the customers closely, have a network with universities and research institutes, consortia, as well as equipment makers. And this network of collaborators have to come together to develop the next generation materials and processes for our customers. So in that span, R&D is a critical element for our business, and we spend almost 10% of our sales in R&D. And that's one of the leading in the industry. And with that comes also the responsibility for us to ensure that within this R&D space, of course, there are multiple segments of different types of applications that our customers require. For example, lithography is a segment which requires an enormous amount of development of materials for EUV. Planarization or thin films or specialty gases, these are all various different types of technology segments where we have a very strong leadership position in each of these areas. So in order to fund and in order to be successful in these spaces, you have to have the right R&D capabilities, the right footprint close to the customers, and the right team of people to be able to innovate on a daily basis. So this is our push into the technology space. In addition to all of this, the recent acquisition of Intermolecular gives us the ability to not only work on materials that are needed for today, but also needed for tomorrow. Back about two decades ago, we were looking at less than 10 elements on the periodic table that we would use in a chip. Today, more than 70 elements in the periodic table are being researched or being used in the chip. So there's an enormous amount of innovation required to understand the different interfaces and interactions between these materials and how they need to be stably working for decades in an aircraft engine or in a car or in a phone or whatever. So that puts an enormous amount of responsibility on us to find these novel new materials and novel new process architectures that can be integrated at a customer site. So Intermolecular brings that capability where we can screen all these new types of materials and figure out whether we can actually use it in manufacturing. So all of this requires what I mentioned earlier, this technology push and the infrastructure and the people behind it, which is one of the big pushes that we are having in our Level Up program.
Excellent. Now, let's also talk about how you guys are leveraging data to collaborate with your customers and improve quality in your materials.
This is a fantastic question, which has multiple drivers behind it. First and foremost is the availability of data today and the availability of computing power to analyze this data. So that gives us an enormous amount of opportunity to be looking at different ways of solving problems. In the past, when a problem occurred, we call it the hypothesis theory, where you come up with a hypothesis why this problem occurred, and then you try to find the root cause of that problem, and you fix it, and you hope it never happens again. In this new era of data first, you kind of flip the problem around. You're not waiting for the problem to happen, but you're looking at all the possible opportunities to work on to prevent that problem from happening in the first place. And typically when we sit and wait for the problem to happen, it could be the most riskiest problem or it could be the problem of the day. But how do you know that the biggest problem that could happen to you is still brewing underneath? It's like a time bomb. And that's where the data analytics part of it comes into play. If you're able to collect and analyze and draw insights from this data and work on the problem that could be the biggest impact, that's what we're trying to drive towards. We've launched a company called Athenia, which has developed a data ecosystem platform where chip makers and material suppliers can collaborate in a very safe and risk-free manner. And the purpose of this is to draw insights. We, as a material supplier, we develop unique chemistries, unique specialty materials, and we send it over to the customer who uses this chemistry to make electrical devices. How do we come to a correlation of which material and which inputs and variables make the biggest impact of that process? You can only do that if there's a collaborative platform to exchange data, to connect the data together and understand correlation and causation. This is what we've been doing with several of our leading customers, and we've proven that with this kind of data exchange, customers are seeing real yield improvements, cost benefits that are tangible cost benefits, which otherwise they would have never been able to do. And as we go forward, integration of materials become more and more complex. We believe there is no other way to scale but through a data-first model. And that's our ambition, and that's what we're working towards. And we're very proud of the platform that we've created. And we're working with our customers to engage and understand how we can scale this even further.
That makes sense. Excellent. Well, Anand, I think it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, you get our standard off-the-cuff. So not a lot of us can have our favorite foods right now because of some level of lockdown or another. So Anand, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if you need a passport to get there, it's on the other side of the country, what would you have?
Well, you know, I'm Indian, so I'm very biased to my cuisine. And being in India, I'm from the southern part of India. I'm very, very biased to that. So my favorite is a Kerala chicken curry.
Nice. That sounds delicious. Awesome. Well, Anand, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. Thanks for the opportunity. You have a good day.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. That's right. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 1st, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton. You've been fried.